Good morning. Thank you for joining in to receive the Dharma through this broadcast. This is yet another opportunity in which I am able to share the Dharma with you. Without your listening and hearing, this sharing is not possible. You make this happen for me, and I thank you. A few weeks ago, Mililani Honganji observed and celebrated the 35th anniversary of its founding. It was an event that brought together a full range of participants, some who have been founding members who continue to serve as key leaders in the temple organizations at all levels, district and state, some who joined the temple after its establishment and find the temple a place where they choose to express their faith. Some return for the celebration after some time away from temple activities. Some can be considered the third generation, our youngest members, whose parents were the participants at the temple when they were young members of the Dharma School and the Junior YBA. Regardless, everyone had some affinity with Mililani Honganji. As we participated in the events of the celebration, I could not help but notice how much events such as this draw members together. Even those who have not been as active return and are warmly received. We are so happy that they join us in the observances. It is a warm reunion that resonated throughout the buildings. The voices carried such joy as the greetings poured forth. Hi, so good to see you. Hi, how are you? Oh, hi, long time no see. Glad you're here today. Genuine appreciation for each other. The human connections continued throughout the day as one after the other, people sought out each other to say hello, to reconnect with others. At the same time that we interact with our members and friends, we cannot help but note the absence of members and friends who have passed away in the years between the 30th anniversary and this 35th celebration. We had a gallery of photographs that gave us pictorial history of the temple, and we saw the faces of these members who have made tremendous contributions of time, effort, and energy for us to enjoy the activities of the temple. It was a great way to spend a Sunday in the company of people who share the same faith, share a common appreciation for what the temple represents, and engage with others as expressions of the teachings. As I sat and chatted through the morning, I could see how much the spaces of what is considered the temple, as distinct from the educational building that I define by the walls and doors. We build rooms, places to gather with boundaries that set space apart from other spaces like yard, parking lot, or carport. The walls define the space, and the space influences the functions and the activities. While I look back at the commemorative photos that span 35 years, I can see that the number of people who are in each photo has decreased over time. Declining membership is something that is lamented throughout the Honganji organizations for the past 35 plus years and more. At its inception, Mililani Honganji was championed for its vibrant and youthful energy with attendance at services in the Dharma schools, and we sorely needed more space. Today, like other temples in Hawaii, membership at Mililani declines. The issues that surround membership have generated numerous resolutions at the Gisekai. It is a concern for the layman's organization and the minister's association. I would get uncomfortable whenever discussions about memberships came about. The message was strongly stated, we need to get more members. So the point of the message sounded like a numbers game. We needed numbers of members. On one hand, I could understand the economics of membership. The more members, the larger economic base. But that still did not seem sufficient. It seemed so materialistic and hollow. Yet as I see how our membership declines, I come to realize why it is an important part of a religious community. All the alarms that were sounded were not heard accurately, but with defensiveness. Why is membership important for any faith organizations? The teachings or doctrines are essential in all faith communities. To have the teachings be actualized and made real in the lives of ordinary sentient beings, there must be some way that it can be witnessed, experienced, and be mutually understood. To have such a process requires that there is a gathering of individuals who share, appreciate, and accept the essentials of the faith. This further means that there is a time, space, means, and opportunity for ordinary beings to experience the teachings that will allow them to develop a deeper appreciation for such teachings that awaken their entrusting. Such is the function of a Sangha. It is that group that makes the teachings real in life and not remain a conceptual ideal. The distinction of the Sangha from a random gathering of individuals is that an individual enters into the Sangha with a full understanding and appreciation that such a membership entails some obligations. In our Honganji tradition, the Sangha has yet another dimension that is distinctive. In the process of engaging with the teachings with those who share the teachings, the members of the Sangha also allow themselves to be transformed through the teachings in some way that may or may not be intentional. The processes are dynamic and reciprocating. Through the encounters with the teachings, members undergo a transformation that also impacts to transform the teachings. Perhaps that is the nature of the teachings that has enabled it to endure for thousands of years. When Buddhism emerged in India, it came forth in a prevailing Hindu culture. As such, it was shaped by the current practices and at the same time gave clarity to Hinduism. As it moved into China, it allowed Buddhism, the prevailing philosophy and practice of Confucius and Lao Tse, to be a way to have Buddhism better understood in the community. As it entered Japan, it shaped and was shaped by the prevailing culture of the period. Buddhism was and is transformational. It is not invasive in its move throughout Asia. It sustained itself in being meaningful to the community. It served the community and in return was served. In this equation, both parties were mutually transformed. All this could only come about because there are members in this religious community, that which we call the Sangha. What Sangha is today is a process of transformation through years of interaction among philosophies and practices. What was once reserved as a monastic practice exclusive to the men of the community, whose lives were considered a field of merit for others to use, to the form today that includes men and women that choose to follow the teachings. In the current form, the members of the Sangha continue to rely on one another, not for the sake of oneself or for others, but for attaining further personal merit, but to mutually foster a spiritual maturity for oneself and for others. In the process of engaging with others, the teachings, the Dharma, remains at the forefront as a reality of life. It is made real by members who choose to follow the teachings. It is made real in all life experiences as moments of growth and change. The Dharma is sustained through the Sangha, and the membership in the Sangha sustains the teaching in temple life. Thank you so much for being a member of the Honganji. Namo Amida Butsu.